Okay, let us begin. Let us begin with, one second. Okay. This week we have a lot going on this week. Parashas Hazinu. It's a very powerful parasha. There's an enormous amount of Musar in the parasha. It's an extremely difficult parasha. Fully comprehend what each pasuk says and to understand how each pasuk is related to the next pasuk and the previous pasuk, the sequence of psukim. It's Shabbat Shuva. We lay in a special haftarah. We lay in actually three sections. Most shuls will lay in three sections, three different nevi'im. Okay, not everyone lays all three. But most shuls will be learning from Hosea, Shuva Yisrael, from Yoel, and from Micha, Mikel Kamoicha, three different Nevi'im, Shabbat Shuva, Shuva Yisrael, Hashem Lokech. We call it Shabbat Shuva after the Haftarah. The Haftarah begins with the word Shuva Yisrael, so we call this week Shabbos Shuva. In the Hasidish world, they call it Shabbos Teshuva, based upon the mitzvah of Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. Okay, so Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, the Shabbos in the middle is called after the 10 days, not after the Haftarah. So either way is correct, either it's Shabbos Shuvah or Shabbos Teshuvah. In the Litvish world, you'll commonly hear it Shabbos Shuvah, and in the Hasidish world, you'll hear it being called Shabbos Teshuvah. Now, Hazinu is Molly Musar. It's a lot of Musar in the words of Hazinu. Yet, for some reason, when we talk about Musar, we don't refer to Hazinu. Musar, when we think about Musar, we think about the Toichacha in Parshas, in Parshas Pichukosai, or the Toichacha in Parshas Kisavoy. We don't usually dwell upon the Toichacha, the Musar in Parshas Hazinu. Why not? Why is this section of Musar not given the same intensity, the same regard, like the other sections of Torah which have Musar? In fact, this section is called Shira. V'ata, in last week's parasha, Kisvu lechem es ha-shira hazois v'lamado es b'nei Yisrael simu b'fiyem. Rashi there says, what is the Shira? The Shira is Hazinu. How in the world can you call Parshas Hazinu a song, when in this parasha it tells us about our terrible sins, it talks about horrible things that Klal Yisrael are guilty of, and horrible punishments that we are subject to in response for our sins? How could you call it a song when it deals with an enormous amount of horror? I believe the answer is something very simple and something very beautiful about Hazinu. To whom did Moshe Rabbeinu address himself when he gave Klal Yisrael this Musar? The answer is not to us. We only learned about this Musar incidentally. We were eavesdropping. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the Shamayim and the Aretz. Let's go back. I'm not going to go. Maybe we'll see, but maybe someone here can find this me while I'm talking. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he erected the Mishkan on the eighth day of the Miluim. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Moshe Rabbeinu inquired just to check everything was done kedas uchadin. The avoda was done kedas uchadin. And Moshe discovered that the korban chatos, the oila for Rosh Chodesh, was not offered correctly. The korban chatos of Rosh Chodesh was not offered. And Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. Moshe launched an investigation as to why the chatos of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh Nisan was not burnt. why it was not eaten, but instead was burnt. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who was he really angry at? He was angry at Aaron, because he was in charge. But out of respect, out of honor, derech eretz for Aaron, he didn't scream at Aaron. Instead, he screamed at his children. They weren't responsible. It was Aaron who was responsible. But Moshe did not direct his anger at Aaron out of respect for Aaron. So instead, he screamed at the kids. But Aaron was the intended listener. He was the intended target. And the way Aaron heard the Musar was indirectly. And we know this technique. When a person wants to give somebody Musar, but you don't want to be mevazeh the person, so you don't talk directly to him. A principal wants to give Musar to his prized Talmud. He doesn't want to shake up the relationship with him. So what does he do? He calls into the office some freshies, some ninth graders, and he starts screaming at them and giving them Musar for exactly the same indiscretion that his prized Talmud is guilty of in the presence of that prized Talmud. So he's talking to his, you know, he calls in his prized student, and he's talking to him and learning and speaking to him. And while he's speaking to him, walks into the office two boys who, you know, just nothing special. And he lashes out at them. How dare you? You two kids, what did you do today? You did this. And he lashes out and gives them Musar. The Musar he's giving these two students is the exact Musar he really wants to give to his prize student. But he can't, because he doesn't want to shake up his relationship with his prize student, but he has to give him Musar. So out of respect, out of kavod for his cherished student, he gives Musar to somebody else for the same exact aveira.
But you could ruin the relationship.
What?
With the other guy. You ruined the guy's life.
He doesn't have a relationship with those people. He can do it to those people that it does. It's no big deal for those other people that he's speaking to. That's his job. Someone who he has a deep relationship with, if you're going to give them this same exact Musar, it's going to shake things up. But the other people, it's no big deal. Those people, anyway, they deserve to get the Musar. You have to construct a situation where this works. You're right. Now, every situation, obviously, is different, but there is such a truth to this, where you have a very good relationship with somebody who's your age, who's older than you, and you have to give them a very unpleasant message. And if you're going to speak to them directly, it's going to be very unpleasant. So what do? You take other people who truly deserve to hear the same exact message, and you speak to them and you give them that exact same message in the presence of the person whom you want to give Musar to. And that person's listening and he's saying to himself, uh-oh, I did the same exact thing. I got the Musar. And that way you have not damaged the delicate relationship you have with the intended recipient of your Musar. That is the difference between Parshas Hazinu and the Toichecha of Acharei Mois and Parshas Kisavon. In Parshas Bichu Kosai, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives Musar to Klal Yisrael, he speaks to them directly. He calls Klal Yisrael into the office and he says to them, sit down, I want to tell you something. And he lashes out at Klal Yisrael. Doesn't hold back anything. He speaks to them directly. He looks them in the eye and he gives them Musar. In Parshas Bichu Kosai, the name of Hashem, and Parshas Kisavo, in his own name. In Parshas Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't speak to us directly. Instead, he speaks to the Shomayim and the Aretz. Hazinu HaShomayim Va'adabera. Shemayim, listen up. The Sishma Ha'oretz Imreifi, Earth, I want to speak to you. I want to tell you some information. And he tells the Shemayim and the Oretz the story of Klal Yisrael. He tells them Loshon Hara, all of the indiscretions of the Jewish people, all of the punishments that they will suffer for their bad deeds and their worshiping of idols and their horrible, all the bad things. But Moshe Rabbeinu does not ever in this parasha look at Klal Yisrael in the eyes and say the Musar directly to them. Why not? Because of the honor, the respect, the kavod that he has for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu's parting gift, before he says, V'zois ha-bracha, asher berach Moshe es b'nei Yisrael, before he looks them in the eye and he gives them bracha directly to their face, he gives them musar. But the way he gives them musar is indirect, by speaking to somebody else and letting Klal Yisrael eavesdrop on the musar. Because that is the ultimate covenant. I hold from you so much. I have so much respect. I have so much a feeling of honor and awe for this people. I can't say this to you directly anymore. Back in Parshas Kisavai, I was able to speak to you directly. In Parshas Bichukosai. But I've grown in my respect for you, my love for you. And I'm going to say my Musar to the Shamayim and the Aretz. Let them be witnesses. Let them know. You read the whole Rashi, the whole significance of the Shamayim and the Aretz. But I'm not speaking to the Jewish people out of love and respect. And that is a beautiful, that is a shira. That is the song of Chazinu. The atah kislu lachem es hashira hazais. The question is so basic. What are you talking about? A song? Read the parsha. Read the Rashis. There is no song here. There is no song here. This is a horror. The words are not arranged. Ariach agabi levena. This is not like Oz Yashir where the words are arranged. This is like the Aseres B'nei Haman. Shalotehei Tukuma. There should be no standing. The Ham Nehishakalam. This is a horror story. This is called a song? The answer is yes. This is a song. You know why it's a song? The way it was presented. Because Moshe had so much respect and love and awe for the Jewish people. He didn't say it to them. He spoke to the Shemayim and the Aretz, and he let the Jewish people eavesdrop, overhear the conversation. That's how you give Musar to a person who you love. And that expression, for us, transforms this parsha into a song, a shira, from which, once we write this song, it takes with it the whole Torah. Our relationship with Moshe is transformed. Everything now becomes Torah Moshe. How do you know you write a Sefer Torah? What's the Makor? The Ata Kislu Lechem Es Hashira Hazois. Excuse me. Hashira Hazois, according to the vast majority of the Rishonim, refers to Hazinu. So the only mitzvah in the Torah is to write Parshas Hazinu. Where do you get from that? There's a mitzvah to write the whole Torah. So they all answer, well, once you have to write Hazinu, so Mamele, you just can't write one parsha, so you have to write the other 53 parshios. Really? From one parsha, it becomes 54 parshios? How did you do that? That's not the way an average person would look. Everyone should plaster in their house, on the wall, Parshas Hazinu. The whole Chamisha Chumshei Torah, where do you get that? Well, when you love somebody, that's what happens. Our Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the most intense Musar with an expression of love. We melted away. We became enamored with Moshe. He loves us. Look at how much respect he has for us. We're humbled. Once we're going to take Hazinu, we're going to write it down. What else did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say to us? What else? What else? I want to see the whole playlist. Can you ever go online? You hear you're an incredible speaker, and you hear an incredible shiur from a speaker. And let me hear the other shiurim. One shiur is not enough. If someone sends you a link, wow, this guy is good. I want to hear the whole playlist. We take the other 54 parashios, 53 parashios. That's the way it works. It's a beautiful parasha. It represents the kovod of Klal Yisrael. Right before Yom Kippur, in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we mispalel uvichein tein kovod liamecha. Ribbono shel olam, give Klal Yisrael kovod. Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to give Klal Yisrael kovod. Kovod he gave was, he didn't speak to us. He spoke, Hazinu Hashamayim Va'adabeir. This is Shema Ha'aretz in my feet. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, I want to tell you now a wild idea. A wild idea. Okay, it's half-baked, but I believe, I strongly believe, Devan Begav, there's something, I believe that there's something true about this idea. I don't know what is true, but there's got to be a little morsel of truth in what I'm going to tell you. We're now coming to Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, we daven on Yom Kippurim 5 tefillos. Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ni'ila. 5 Shmona Esrays. You got 5 chances. 5 shots. And the truth is, 4 of the 5, you get a double chance. You have your private Shmona Esrei, and then you have a Chazara Sashatz. Do it all over again. Chazara Sashatz. Ma'ariv, no, you only get one shot. You dive Ma'ariv, there's no Chazara Sashatz. We say a very long Slichos. After we finish Ma'ariv, we dive, we say Slichos. Okay, but that's not, the Shliach Tzibur does not repeat the Shmona Esrei. He doesn't say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avosein, Elokei Avraham. You know, okay, where does all of this come from? Find me a makor in the Torah for Yom Kippur, the Seder Hayom of Yom Kippur. We also have to remember another thing that's very important to remember. Those who came last night, we discussed this idea that vidui, an essential element of vidui, is to acknowledge that Hashem is a tzaddik. The ato you tzaddik al kol habo oleinu ki emes osisa the anachnu hirshanu you Hashem, everything that you have done to us is correct. The ato tzaddik, you are a tzaddik al kol habo oleinu. We are wicked. The punishment, the suffering that we have done is because we have committed averos. That's part of the vid, part of the confession. It's not just to say, Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu Dofi, but part of the confession is to acknowledge that the punishment that has come our way, the unpleasantness in this world that we suffer, it is deserved. How does all of that work? You know, that's all a big mystery because unfortunately we don't understand. That's tzaddik v'raloi, but overall, the basic principle is the atot tzaddik al kol haba aleinu, ki emes osisa, v'anachnu hirshan, we are wicked. So what are we trying? Why then do we want a Yom Kippur? Why are we asking for mechila? If vidu, you know, there's a contradiction, a major contradiction taking place on Yom Kippur. On the one hand, we say vidui, which means bring it on Hashem. We did every avera in the book from Aleph to Tav. Ashamnu is the Aleph base. Ashamnu, Aleph, Boganu base, Gozalnu, Gimel. We go to all the letters of the Aleph base. And we then declare the Atot Tzadik, Al Kol Haba Aleinu. We did every avera man can possibly do, and you, Hashem, have punished us severely, and we deserve it. Okay, that's vidui. And then what do? A bunch of crybabies. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. Don't punish us, don't punish us. Don't punish us, have rachamon is upon us. We're not so bad. We'll be good, we'll be better, we'll change our ways. Manavshach. If you're confessing, and part of the confession is, we deserve to be punished. So why then are we begging Hashem like crybabies, to forgive us. Well, that's part of what the day is all about. It's indeed a contradiction which we have to wrap our minds around. We have to fully confess, fully acknowledge we deserve everything that has happened, and we deserve a lot more in the future. But yet, at the same time, it's a contradiction. It really is. At the same time, we ask Hashem to forgive us, and we moichel everything. We'll never do this again. Where do we find this combination coming together? We find it in the very first elaborate prayer in the Torah by Avraham Avinu when he prayed for the people of Sodom. Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, I got news to tell you. These people, this nation, Sodom, they are finished. I'm going to nuke them. They're done. They were shot in. And Avraham Avinu says, in Parshas Lech Lecha, he says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Hashofet Kol Haaretz, V'yaseh Mishpat. Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, he goes on to say to Hashem, are you going to take away the tzaddik with the Rasha? The tzaddik with the Rasha? The same, I'm not going to go through every little detail, but the same terminology is used. V'ato tzaddik Hashem, al kol habolinu, v'anachne hershanu. And yet we go say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, no. Don't destroy us. We're wicked, and you're a tzaddik, but still, you know, have rachmanis on the Rishoyim. We're the Rishoyim, and you're the tzaddik. Are you going to, is the tzaddik going to, you're going to go separate ways? No, the tzaddik, because there's a tzaddik in the city, is going to be matzil all the Rishoyim. Hashem, you know what it means to be a tzaddik. And maybe, ulai, yesh, maybe we'll find in the city 50 tzaddikim. And the 50 tzaddikim will save the entire city, all of the cities. Now, let me go backwards and explain what I'm trying to say. I start off by telling you that in Yom HaKippurim, there are five prayers. Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, what I leave out, Ni'ilah, right? Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ni'ilah, five prayers. How many people do you need to make a minyan? How many people do you need to make a minyan to bring a Dovar Shebi Kedusha to the nucleus of a minyan? Even if you go to a place, they have 1,500 people. What's the nucleus of that minyan? 10 people. So if we have five prayers in the day, and each prayer, each session needs 10 people to bring the Shekhinah down, so what does that equal? 5 times 10 is 50. Avraham Avinu is really laying out the foundation for Yom Kippur. Ula yesh chamishim. Maybe there are 50 tzaddikim. Who are the 50 tzaddikim? 5 tefilos. 5 tefilos. Each tefillah, the core to make the tefillah is 10. In the zuchus of this day, the Yoim HaKodosh, ki bayoim hazeh yichaper alechem, l'tahar eschem lefnei Hashem, v'ameich kulam tzadikim, in the zuchus of these 5 tefillahs, forgive us. And then what happens? Cover my tracks in a moment, but let me just tell you the basic outline. The 5 tefillos turn into what does Avraham say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He really goes with 6 steps. 50, 45, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. 6 different stages. When we get to 40, we just go down by 10. 40, 30, 20, 10. But when we start with 50, he says 50. Maybe we're missing 5. We go from 50 to 45. Why is 50 and 45 different? Why didn't Avraham Avinu go when he got to 40? Maybe there's only 35. Maybe there's only 25. Maybe there's only 15. Maybe there's only 5. How come only when we get to 50 did he go down from 50 to 45? So I want to say a drush, because the 50 represent the beginning of the day, the Ma'ariv. The only tefillah that does not have a chazara sashatz is Ma'ariv. The other tefillah is, it's a steady 10. It's steady. Shachris, there's private Shemona Esrei and the chazara sashatz. The full potency of the shachris is present. Musaf, you have the private Musaf and the chazara sashatz. Mincha, you have the private chazara sashatz. Nila, private chazara sashatz. The full potency is there. However, Ma'ariv, the night of Yom Kippur, you don't have the full potency. You have the silent Shemona Esrei, but you don't have the koyach of the chazara sashatz, the tzibur. That's the 45. We start out, we have 5 tefillos in front of us. Each tefillah needs 10 people. And Avraham says, Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim. And there's zuchus, the 5 tefillos, which have 10 people in each tefillah, the core, the nucleus. Forgive us, forgive all the rishayim. V'anachnu hirshanu. We're the people of some. Kistoim hayinu. The pasuk says that we're Sodom. The pasuk says, "Kistoim hayinu kamor adaminu." We're Sodom. Chas v'shalom. That's what it says in the pasuk. Forgive us. We're the Rishoyim. Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim. We have in front of us on this day. Ki bayoyim hazeh yechaper aleichem l'taris chamikol chatos lechem lefnei Hashem titaru. We have 5 minyanim, 5 tefilos. Each tefillah has 10 people. Chamishim tzadikim. Oh, but you'll say, but the Ma'ariv is not really such a 10 because it doesn't have the koyach of chazaras hashatz. So it's like only 9 because when you take away one of the 10, you don't have a minion. There's no chazar. That's the 45. The 45 alludes to the weakness in the Ma'ariv that it doesn't have the full potency because there is no tzibur dikadin in the Ma'ariv. There's no chazaras hashatz. So, Ibn Shalom, after we finish the silent Shemona Esrei of Ma'ariv, is when Avraham Avinu says, "Nu, there's only 45 now. The Ma'ariv, the Shtila Shemona Esrei is over. And now we're in phase 2 of the Ma'ariv. No minion. There's no Chazar Sashatz. We're saying Slichas. That's the 45. Nu, just because there's no Chazar Sashatz by Ma'ariv, you're gonna take away the koyach of the minion. You're not gonna forgive us." Hashem says, "Okay, I'll forgive you." Then we go down to the morning. In the morning, time is running out. All you got left are 40 tzaddikim in the morning. 4 more tefillos: shachris, musaf, mincha, ni'ila. Each one needs 10. 40 tzaddikim. When you finish shachris, all you got left are 30. When you finish Mustaf, all you got left is Mincha Ne'ila.
Where did 20 go?
20. It's over. The day is over. Hayoyim Pana. The day is passing. The day is passing. The Koyach of the day is leaving. The Koyach of Yom Kippur is the day. Is the whole day. And as the day goes away, the day passes, part of that day is gone. With each passing tefillah, all we got left is ni'ilah. 10 tzaddikim. You're not going to forgive us. 10 tzaddikim. And Hashem says, each time, you could read the pasuk, Hashem says, yeah, I forgive you. I do forgive you. Who says Hashem didn't forgive? Let me read you the pasuk. Let's go back to Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay, Gesundheit. Not about Lech Lecha. What parasha? This parasha is Vayera. Where is the story of Sodom?
Vayera.
Where is she?
Vayera.
Hashem says, yeah, Vinososa, I'll forgive you. Vinososa, I will forgive. Yeah, five tefillahs, different levels of mechila. There's no chazor sashatz by Ma'ariv. Vayomer, forgiven. Lo yashchis. That's right. After you finish Yisrael and Shimon Esher and you say slichos, Ma'ariv, after Ma'ariv, there's no chazor sashatz. You're not saying slichos in the middle of chazor sashatz at Ma'ariv. You say the slichos independently. It doesn't have the toikif. During the day, when you say slichos, you're saying slichos in the middle of chazor sashatz. Hashem says, lo yashchis, amoichel you. Then we come to the morning. Ula yimotsun sham arboim. Four minyanim left. 40 tzadikim. Hashem says, lo yaseh, I'm not going to punish you. 30, 10. And then we come to ne'ila vayomer lo yashchis. Ba'avur ho'asara. Even ne'ila alone will get you through. Vayelech Hashem, kasher kilo ledaber, and when they blow the shofar, when Yom Kippur is over, the Ribbono Ola Elokim Bisrua, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem seven times, the Ribbono Shalom goes back to Shemayim, Vayelech Hashem, kasher kilo ledaber l'Avram, ve'Avraham shav l'mekoymai, and we go back home. Lech echol besimcha lachmecha ushesei belev toiv yenecha ki kivor rotzo elokim es masecha. We win. We win. We won five times. Six times. Five times. There are six different stages, but we broke it up. The Yom Kippur, we won the whole Yom Kippur. So I'm trying to suggest, you can probably delve into this much deeper, but the skeleton of Yom HaKippurim is mirumas in the tefillah of Avraham Avinu on behalf of the people of Sodom, begging Ula Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim. There are five tefillahs. Each tefillah needs 10 people, 50, and the 50 to 45 is the Ma'ariv when we lack, when we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. In Ma'ariv, it lacks the koyach of the tzibur because it's not said in the middle of Chazor Sashatz. It's said independently, in contrast to the other four tefillos where we say the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim in the middle of Chazor Sashatz. So that's why we break up the 50 to 45 to allude to that. But it's all here. And Hashem says, for each one of the tefillos alone, I will forgive you on Yom HaKippurim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I want to tell you another idea, which I think it's also maybe not be fully baked, but it's achilas machel ben derusai. It's at least cooked enough, at least a third, or as a gemara, an expression of the gemara, it's cooked enough to the degree where you can eat it. I find this very interesting. When you make a bracha on candles, the lighting of the candles for Shabbos and Yom Tov. What bracha do you make? Some men don't even know what bracha because you've never done this. Your wife does this. But the bracha is Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. What happens during the Shalosh Regalim? What bracha do you make? Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Yom Tov. What bracha do you make on Rosh Hashanah? Look in the Siddur. On Rosh Hashanah, it's the same bracha. No, you do not make, ask your wife, you do not make a bracha Yom HaZikaron on Rosh Hashanah. Shocking, right? Shocking to hear that. Asher mitzvah mitzvah l'halik ner shel Yom Tov. On Rosh Hashanah, you make the same exact bracha you make on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. So you would think that if you make the same Yom Tov on Rosh Hashanah, you should make the same bracha on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvaysa v'tzivanu l'halik ner shel Yom Tov, right? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they always go together. Yet it's shocking. This is a shocking reality. It's unbelievable. This this break, this rebellion, that when it comes to Yom Kippur, it gets its own bracha. Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvasav v'tzivanu l'halik ner shel Yom HaKippurim. What's going on? What is going on here? Why is Yom Kippur manafshach? If Yom Kippur is Yom HaKippurim, then we should make a special bracha shel Yom HaZikaron. And if we're going to make on Rosh Hashanah shel Yom Tov, we should make on Yom Kippur shel Yom Tov. My high. The answer is obviously, we discussed a little bit yesterday, that the lighting of the candles of Yom Kippur is not the same lighting of the candles as Yom Tov and Shabbos. Why? Because Yom Tov and Shabbos, we eat. We eat. And when you eat, you derive benefit from the light. On Shabbos, you see the food. You see the food on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, you see the food. So if we make the bracha, Asher Kedeshan, you're seeing the food. So you are deriving benefit. On Yom Kippur, you're not eating. There's no eating. So what's the purpose of lighting the candles for? And in fact, many challenge, why should you light candles altogether on Yom Kippur? In honor of Yom Kippur? I guess that's the basic answer. L'chvod Yom Kippur. Or someone is saying that in order you light a candle, that a man and a woman, the candle is not for eating, but it should be in the bedroom, that they should not be nichshol in one of the five inuyim of Yom Kippur. There should be light, so the light will prevent you from doing an avera that you're not light on Yom Kippur. The nature of lighting the candle on Yom Kippur is fundamentally different than the nature of lighting the candle in Rosh Hashanah. That's a basic start to the answer. But I want to go a step further. I want to point out that there's one other bracha we make on lighting candles, which I believe opens up a whole new world into the lighting of the candle of Yom Kippur. Can anyone imagine, try to think of what other bracha we make on the lighting of a candle? Chanukah.
Shehiyanu.
What?
Shehiyanu.
Besides, that's for the day. That's the I'm talking about a bracha on the lighting of the candle itself. Asher kedeshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lehadlik ner shel Chanukah. In total, how many possible types of brachas do you make in total? In the total liturgy on lighting candles. Lahalik ner shel Shabbos, lahalik ner shel Yom Tov, lahalik ner shel Chanukah, lahadlik ner shel Yom HaKippurim. So I want to say that if we're not making the standard bracha of lahalik ner shel Yom Tov on Yom Kippur, but we're making a bracha lahalik ner shel Yom HaKippurim, instead, the answer lies in the other exception, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Now let me explain. When you light the ner shel Chanukah, what does the ner shel Chanukah represent? Every kindergarten child knows the answer, the menorah. You are lighting your Chanukiah is a zecher for the nes of the Chanukah menorah, right? Every child knows this. Lahali, the nace of the menorah. It went for 8 days. Only should have gone for one day and it lasted for 8 days. I want to suggest, this is a drush, not pshat, drush. When you light the candle of Yom Kippur, it's a shocking thing I'm going to tell you now. When you light the candle of Yom Kippur, lahadlik ner shel Yom HaKippurim, you know what you're lighting? You are reenacting, it's a zecher, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Not the ordinary candle you light, Shabbos, Yom Tov, or miracle candle. No, the menorah. Now, why in the world would you say that? Why would I say that? Here's the answer. When the Kohen Gadol, how many times did the Kohen Gadol enter into the Kodesh HaKodashim on Yom HaKippurim? How many times did he enter? 5 times. It was the only time in the year that anyone ever entered into the Kodesh HaKodashim. To get into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you have to pass through a metal detector. You ever go to a metal detector? You go to the airport, you go to a metal, so what's the metal detector? You have two sides, right? Metal, you have two sides, the metal detector. There's something on this side, something on this side, and it's shooting some airwaves, whatever. And if you have metal in your body, on your person, ding, 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 it rings. There's a metal detector to get into the Kodesh HaKodashim. You know what the metal detector is? On one side is the menorah, and on the other side is the shulchan. And these two objects, they are a team. I always love, I'm enamored with the Rashbam on the Parash Pasik in Bahaloischa. Bahaloischa is nesl mul pneum menorah, Yairu Shivas Haneirois. Rashi says mul means the center shaft. The Rashbam says, no, mul means the lechem haponim. The Rashbam is an out of the ballpark home run, out of the city and the state, the country home run. The Rashbam says the purpose of the menorah is to spotlight the lechem haponim. The light of the menorah is cast, it's shedding its rays on the bread. On the bread. That's what it's doing. It's spreading its rays on the bread. What do you do? And does anyone ever disturb? Is there anyone who ever disturbs the rays? The rays are going onto the bread. And let's assume now, I know you'll tell me you don't light the menorah by day, but let's assume they did. It's not so, the Rambam says they did. The Ne'er Maravi was there, L'chora, so it was going, but it was going. Does anyone ever disturb the rays of light going from the menorah to the bread? No. You know why? Because no one ever walks between the menorah and the shulchan. No one ever walks there, except the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He disturbs those rays 10 times. When he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim, he walks in between the shulchan and the menorah. He's in the middle. He's interfering with El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yoiru Shivas HaNeiros. Now let's take a step back. What do we pray for on Yom HaKippurim and Rosh Hashanah? Life. V'zochreinu L'chayim. What is bread? Bread is life. Ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Even though the pasuk says it's not life, right? But it is life. When the pasuk says ki loy al halechem levado, it means, listen, the basics are bread, right? You need lechem. Lechem is life. But you need Hashem, right? Hashem yichye ha'adam. But the pasuk indirectly is teaching you that lechem is life. It's a symbol of life, bread. That's not enough. You also need, but that's the levadoi. The bread is basic life. What kind of life are we looking for? What kind of life? A mundane life of nonsense? The goal in this world is to live the lechem that is illuminated by the kedusha of the menorah. The menorah hatahora. The only utensil that's called tahor is the menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu made the menorah hatahora. Ki bayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem letaher eschem. The menorah is casting its rays of light, of ruchniyistika light, the Or HaGonuz Misheishes Mehabreishes, on the Lechem, on life. The Or at Tohar, the Menorah HaTohara. It's Mul, the Shulchan. And on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol goes in the middle. The Kohen Gadol stands in the middle of the Menorah and the Shulchan. He gets a first-hand taste of what it means to enjoy bread that is illuminated. He stands in between the process of the lechem and the Or HaTohar that's illuminating the lechem. It must be a very big challenge for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He passes bread 10 times. He must be hungry. He's fasting on Yom Kippur. And he sees their bread 10 times. Can't eat it. Can't eat that bread. But the Or HaTohar is being cast on that bread. And he's right in the middle. He gets a first-hand taste of what life is all about. Of what it means, ki lo yal alechem levadik ki al kol motzofi Hashem, the Or HaTohar is being cast on that lechem. When he goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim and when he comes out. Gets this appreciation. On Yom HaKippurim, we're all rooting for the Kohen Gadol. We're all tracing his footsteps. We're all waiting patiently for him to come out. We're following him every step of the way. We're with him. We also yearn that our lechem, our life, should be illuminated by the Or of the Menorah HaTohira. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Yom HaKippurim. What ner shel Yom HaKippurim? You're eating tonight. You're not eating tonight. You're not saying ner shel Yom Tov. You're not saying ner shel Shabbos. It's also Shabbos. It's Shabbos, Shabbos on Yom HaKippurim. No. You know what you're saying when you make that bracha? Think about the other kindling of neros. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Chanukah. Yom Kippur is like Chanukah. Just like on Chanukah you light the menorah, on Yom HaKippurim, the ner that you're lighting for Yom Kippur is to remember when you pray for life, v'zochreinu l'chaim, when you pray, v'chosmeinu l'chaim toivim, what kind of life? L'halik ner shel Yom HaKippurim. It should be a chayim, a lechem, ki lo yalechem levada yichye. It should be ki al kol motzofi Hashem. It should be illuminated by the ner of the menorah. The menorah hatohira, which represents the hashuas hashchina, eidos shehashchina shiruya b'Yisrael. How do we know this pshat is right? Look at the kinos. Kina Tezayin. In Kina Tezayin, it says, there was another person who walked into the Kodesh HaKodashim. There was one other man who walked into the Kodesh HaKodashim besides the Kohen Gadol in our liturgy. One other man in our liturgy. The only one that goes in the Kodesh HaKodashim was the Kohen Gadol. But there was a Shegetz who walked into the Kodesh HaKodashim. Who? Titus. And it's mentioned explicitly in the kinos. And it says there something very strange, very, very strange. As Titus comes into the Kodesh HaKodashim to stab the paroiches, Timei Lechem Haponim. He contaminated the Lechem Haponim. That's what it says in the kinos. Look it up in the kinos. Kina Tezayin. He can, as he walking in, v'timei lechem upon him. What does that mean? I don't know. I always thought it was very bizarre. What? He touched it. He was hungry. He touched it. No. What about everything else? Well, he wasn't mitame the mizbeach hazah. Wasn't mitame the million kelim in the Beis Hamikdash. All of a sudden, on his way in, v'timei lechem upon him. Okay. Question, if you're talking about the lechem, what about the menorah? Once already you're at it and you touch the lechem upon him, with your right hand, so why then with his left hand didn't he touch the menorah? The menorah is on the left, the shulchan is on the right, the teammate the lechem upon him, so nu, touch the menorah also, be matame the menorah, what's holding you back? If you took the menorah with you, and you put it on the arch of Titus, so why doesn't it say in the kinyan that he touched the menorah? And that we're missing the whole point. The point is, Titus, when he entered into the Kodesh HaKodashim, to get into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you have to walk through the metal detector. You got to go through the TSA. You got to pass through security. The security are two poles, two detectors that work together. The menorah is on the left. The shulchan is on the right. And you walk through. You walk through like a bris, the bris ben habasarim. Rashi says you take two things and you walk through two different parts. When Titus walked through, the menorah was shining on the bread. When he walked through the shekets, the koich of tumah, the lowlife, when he walked through, he disturbed those holy rays that were going from the menorah to the shulchan. And now the bread didn't receive, there was interference, didn't receive the light of the menorah. So the bread, menela, became tameh, became mundane. The menorah is always giving off light. The menorah is always radiating with kedusha. We have to pick it up. It's always broadcasting. It's the server. The bread is the client. We have to be mekabel. When you walk through, when he walked through, he disturbed that ray, and the nail of the bread didn't. It was this interference. It didn't pick up the light. So the bread became just ordinary bread. Life was boring. Life became mundane. Ki lo alalechem levada yichyeh adam. It became alalechem levada yichyeh. That's what happened to Klal Yisrael. When he walked in between the menorah and the shulchan, there was no more al pi Hashem yichyeh adam. It was just ki alalechem levada yichyeh adam. Alechem levada yichyeh adam. That type of bread is tameh. It's the same idea. When you go into the Kodesh HaKodashim, you have to go between the menorah and the shulchan. Titus disturbed that transmission. When the Kohen Gadol goes through, he doesn't disturb it. His sanctity, it gives it a boost. No, it's like a Wi-Fi repeater, right? You have a transmitting a Wi-Fi and the signal's just not strong enough. So you install a little device in the middle to boost the signal. When the Kohen Gadol, who is Molei Kedusha on this holy day, goes between the menorah and the shulchan, he supercharges, he boosts, he magnifies the aura. And the lechem is energized. It's not the lechem which represents life. Ki lo yal lechem levada yichyeh adam. The life becomes even greater, even more sacred, more has even more sanctity. And we, when we light a candle, when we light the Yom Tov candle of Yom HaKippurim, it's like lighting a Chanukah candle. We're reminding ourselves that we who come to be mevakeish and mekadosh baruch hu on this day, chayim, life, what kind of life? What kind of is just al halechem levadoi? We're being mevakeish, it should be ki al pi Hashem, and the pi Hashem that the lechem in the mikdash comes from the menorah. That's the candle that we're lighting to get the light lit, in order that it can transmit its aura to the lechem, to our life, a life of ruchnis, of sanctity. Okay. It's late, so we have to wind down. Let me just conclude with a very short vart to say to finish off. Ne'ilah, the end of Ne'ilah, we mispalel leman nechtal me'oshek yadeinu. And nu nosach, you thought you saw it all. You've gone through the entire Elul, gone through Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Teshuvah, the whole Yom Kippur. What more can you possibly say? What nusach, what expression have you already not said in Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Teshuvah, four tefillos? What's left to say? What could you possibly do more? Two words. Oshek Yodeinu. At the end of Ne'ilah, in the Shemona Esrei, both in the private Shemona Esrei and the Chazaras HaShatz, we introduce a new concept we've never heard before in all of the tefillos. Hashem, have rachmonis on us and save us from extortion. Being perpetrators of extortion. Oshek means you force a person to sell you something they don't want to sell. You pay them full price, pay double, triple, but he doesn't want to sell. You tell him, listen here, you're selling it to me whether you like it or not. I'll pay you triple, but you have to sell it to me. That's called Oshek. Hashem, have rachmonis on us. Save us. We should not be guilty. May Oshek Yodeinu. What? What is that all about? All right. There are 100 answers. We're not going to go through them now. 100 answers to explain what this means. It means the fine points of Gezel. By the Mabel, Pasuk says, Le'nechtam gzardinam ela al ha-gozel. The gzardin was the Gezel. Oshek Yodeinu is a fine point. It's a detail of Gezel. But I believe there's something much more important about Oshek Yodeinu, more of a machshava v'drush. We say in the Nusach HaTfilah very often, we ask Hashem, we say, help us, purify us, that we should do la'asois ritzoincha b'leivav shalem, that we should do your will with a full heart. La'asois ritzoincha b'leivav shalem. Unfortunately, most of what we do during the year, it's a reality. It's lip service. We have to do it. We wake up in the morning. Why do we go to shul? We have to go to shul. It's what you do. You give tzedakah. No, you got to give tzedakah. It's soon going to be Sukkot. You go buy a lulav and esrog. Of course, we work on ourselves very hard to try to appreciate the mitzvah, to delve deeply into the reasons behind the mitzvah, to add flavor to the mitzvah, to have kavana, to learn to love the mitzvah. But it's very hard to really serve Hashem, b'lev of shalem. It's a very, very great challenge that we struggle our entire lives. And unfortunately, more often than not, when we're doing avodas Hashem, we really feel like we're just going through the motions. Why go through the motions? You don't got a choice. That's life. You have to go through the motions sometimes. That's called Oshek Yodeinu. Oshek means you're forced. Extortion. I'm forcing you to do something good. I'm giving you money. I'm making a transaction. I'm giving you triple. It's a great deal. You'll never have such an opportunity your whole life to make so much money like this. But you don't want to do it. I'm not interested. Oshek. Oshek Yodeinu. We're doing mitzvahs. We're acquiring Olam Haba, Olam HaNitzchi. Every time you do a mitzvah, Chazal tell us we can't even begin to fathom what you gain for your neshama in the next world. But in this world, I don't see it. In this world, it's Oshek. I'm doing it because I got to do it. That's the way life goes. You got to do this, you got to do that. You do this mitzvah, that mitzvah. You just go with the flow. Hopefully you do it enough, it'll rub off on you and it will sink in and you'll appreciate it. But that's called Oshek Yodeinu. We end off Yom HaKippurim by asking Hashem, please have rachmanis on us. V'sein bilibeinu lahovin ulahaskil l'shmoya lilmod ulamid lishma v'lasos. It's called Divrei Talmud Torah Secha be'ahava, with love. It shouldn't feel like our avodas Hashem is oshek yodeinu. We have to do it because it should be lasois ritzoncha beleva of shalom. Rabbi Sari is such a choshiva oilam here. I'm looking at the names on the screen over here who are here. Kulam ahuvim, kulam birurim, kulam giborim, v'chulam oisim. The people in the room, of course, the people in the room. Rabbi Elman and Michal Miller, and you're all invited to come back into the room here. You don't have to worry about me. I'm behind the glass cage. I'm in a cage. I'm in a cage here. You have to still wear masks, but halavai, you should all come back one day, very soon, in person. But Abayisai, at the end of davening, you say the Ein Lanu Shiur Rak HaTorah Hazos. And you have incredible merits to take with you to the Yom Hadin. You have the Shiur of the Torah Hazos. You come every day to learn. No one's telling, forcing you. No one's paying you. No one's twisting your arm. You come here on your own will to learn L'shem Shamayim. There couldn't be a greater Nachas Ruach v'Hashem. And may the Ribbono Shel Olam take note, certainly will, and may this be for all of us and everyone here a merit, a schus, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring upon you and your families and your friends and extended family and friends a year of bracha, of excellent health, success, nachas from your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Yimale Hashem kol mish'alois libchem l'toiva, a good gebench yar, a year of success and bracha. Amen, amen, v'amen.
Amen, amen. Amen, gamatem. Gamatem.
Amen.
Shana tova, gmar chatima tova.
Gmar
chatima tova. Has she gladder?
Mark, wishing everybody.
The gladder.
The whole group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All the blessings to you.
Amen. Thank you very much. Mr. Cole, thank you very, very much.
Rabbi Levine, you don't know how you've changed our lives.
Please.
Thank you.
Please. Mark, I good gebench you.
Good gebench you.
I'm a whole gemachsim tovah, I'm a whole gemachsim tovah.